Well, hallelujah. Go ahead. You can be turning to Galatians 5 again. I thought this morning's service was tough. I heard one person say tough. Another one says awesome. Another one says, I don't know. Sure not what I expected. And I think I need to start tonight's service again reading another one of the prophecies that came about this year. Because again, remember now, we're in the second half of the year. This is right near the end of July. We're already in the second half. This is the year that we sell out to Him. Okay? You know, which is a hard word for somebody if you've been here 22 years like I have and you're going like, what? You know, and what do you mean this is the year I sell out to you? I've been here a long time, praying, fasting, made a lot of life choices, you know, that were not what the world would call wise, but yet what I feel like the Lord is saying do, you know. But you'll find out, and like I'm finding out, yeah, there's more selling out to do. There is more. So I read the two this morning where it says, this is the year we sell out to Him. Then the one that says, my plans have not changed. I'm going to go ahead and read this one. This one came not through me, but January 5th of the year. And it says, the title they put on this one is, the assignment God gave is going to be completed. The assignment God gave, and he's talking about the prayer center here. How many of you believe revival? We're about to enter into revival. I believe that too. So he says, the Lord says, the purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. There has been an assignment given to not just this group, but the assignment that has been given to the prayer center family. It is the ones around anywhere who have attached themselves to the standards of prayer and fasting. But not just the standards of prayer and fasting, but also of not pursuing your own ministry, your own dreams. Also standards of laying your life down. Does that sound like this morning's message? You know, of not building something of men and that type of thing. If you have been attached to us either by your heart or by God's will, attached to this assignment, it is moving forward. It has made leaps and bounds over the last few years. Unseen leaps and bounds these last few years. I need to say that again. The assignment that God gave has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't listen to failure or defeat. Don't listen to it. See, the devil only has his gospel. And his gospel is a gospel of circumstances. It is a gospel of emotions. It is a gospel of human reasonings. It is a gospel of human compassion. It is opposite to the Word of God. He preaches his gospel through all of those things, and they all come for one purpose, and that is to choke the Word. To steal the real word of God from you. So what is our job? Paul said, not looking at those things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. I'm reminded of the list. He gave it several times. He says, cast down but not forsaken. Perplexed. Remember? Perplexed but not in despair. How many of you, circumstances that are going on right now that we're all aware of in this church, maybe circumstances. Talk with one of my favorite people walking in, and she said, pray, the war is increasing. I understand that. It is, too. What would you do if you saw people about to reach the finish line and your goal was to stop them? You'd throw everything in the world you had, wouldn't you? Well, if you're movable based on things that are seen, he'll stop you, too. See? But the things that are seen, they are what? Temporal, which is where we get our word temporary. But the things that are not seen who you really are in Christ. The revival that God has called us to. We don't see it yet. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Well, we're not seeing it right now. Although I tell you, I do see it. I know you see it or you wouldn't be here. You see it with the eyes of faith. One of these days we're going to possess the land too, you watch. And I don't think that day is far off. But let me finish this. It says, don't listen to failure or defeat. I want to get the progression. Listen to what he says. Listen to how he says this. He says, the assignment that God gave has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years. And if you're going to be one of those moved by what you see, really? Leaps and bounds, you say. Same carpet. Floor is a little more slopety than it was last year. Cars in the parking lot are older. My back, my leg, my foot, my friends, my finances, my emotions. Leaps and bounds, huh, Gary? But he says it has made leaps and bounds, and it is going to be completed. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Now, this is where I had to stop and just listen to this. Don't listen to failure or defeat, because it is not true. It is not true. Jesus forever settled what truth is. Father, thy word is truth. Once you have God's word on it, that is the truth. No matter what hell throws against you, it is what Jesus held on to during his greatest trial. He had to succeed where the first Adam failed. After a 40-day fast, and to me that's trial enough, but after the 40-day fast, the enemy comes and does everything he can to destroy him. And Jesus used one weapon, truth. Truth, it is written, it is written, it is written. He prevailed, and we will prevail. Amen. Amen. I'm glad we have this calling in the lost session. I'm glad near the end of it, we get the opportunity, the privilege, the honor of declaring with our mouths, calling those things which be not as though they were. But we're calling those things the same as what God has already said. And we will have what we say. In Jesus' name. How does Alan do that? I can tell I'm preaching good now, right? So he says, don't listen to failure or defeat, because it is not true. Keep moving forward. Because in you is something precious that is being built, that you carry with you everywhere you go. He is seeking for a revival of love, of integrity, of sincerity, of holiness, a revival of God's power. But notice, a revival of God's heart. If you had one word to describe God's heart, God is love. See, this, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be in full manifestation, but it's not going to be a gifts revival in the same way that we've had them in smatterings down through the years. Usually what would happen there was immature people, and I even hate to say that, like, oh, I'm the mature one. Oh, come on, I know Gary pretty well, okay? All right? But what I'm saying is, and you know from history it's true, now not always, but most of the time in those revivals, usually some kind of scandal would break out. Something would happen. Because there are too many handles, too much flesh. And that's exactly the vision that Dave saw all those years ago, that what prevented that dark band that was preventing the earth from receiving the glory of the Lord was this dark band that he at first thought was the devil. But the Holy Spirit told him, he said, no, that's your flesh. And the flesh is where the handles are. That's what the enemy comes looking for. Seeing if he can find any way that he can manipulate you, trick you, change you, buy you, threaten you, move you. Okay. Well, this one's going to be, I'm going to say it again. This one is it's not just a revival of the, of course it's a revival of the gifts. That's God's power comes through the gifts of the Spirit. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts. He didn't say forsake seeking them. It says, covet earnestly, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Well, what he's talking about there is not just the gifts and stay a little carnal baby. Covet the gifts, but pursue God's love. Go into maturity. Well, maturity is going to crucify the flesh. That's what we're going to look at here again in Galatians. Maturity crucifies the flesh. And it does it daily. And sometimes it does it 4 or 5 times daily. And sometimes it does it 4 or 5 times an hour. It may seem like the length of time to get there may look like it's not working. But it is. If you just look inward, you will find out that that is so. And I'm going to read this last one here, because you got to have this vision, see? If you don't have hope on the inside of you, you'll quit. There is no such thing as faith without hope. If you don't have an image of what's coming, you won't contend. You won't fight. My dad, I still have it today. I'll have it all of my life. During World War II, my dad was drafted. And we spent time in Germany, 3.5 years. Pretty scary stuff, you know. Most of the World War II vets, at least my dad and the ones that I know, they couldn't even talk about it for most of their life. You couldn't even get them to talk about it. The things they saw were just too horrible. But my dad carried a little pistol with him that I don't know exactly where he got it. Got a clip. It's not a revolver. So what do you call it? It was an automatic. I don't own a pistol. What is it? Whatever that is. It's a pistol, a good pistol. And the one he has, you can put a picture in the handle. So it may not be exactly that issue. I don't know. But you know what he put in there? The prettiest picture you ever saw of my mother. You ought to have seen my mother back in the 40s. Wow. Mom's in this, I don't know what color it really was. Of course, it's a black and white picture. She's slender, got that good, had a good figure, you know, and that black and white print dress. And Dad says, I carried that with me all the time so I'd never forget what I'm fighting for. You got to keep an image on the inside of what you're fighting for. This is way bigger than your needs getting met, your Sears bill, your court case, it is all of that. It's for a lost world. Amen. It's for our Father's heart. It's for a harvest like the world has never seen. Got to keep an image of what you're fighting for. So let me read this one. The title they put on this one is Whole Cities of Sinners Will Be Left Without Doubt. The Lord says, what I am sending, this came January 12th, what I am sending, the revival, will carry a weight and a power that have not been recognized very many times down through the centuries. I will come in with such a definition that you will be able to define what I am doing. And know that nobody else could do it but me. It'll be in such a way, the signs and the wonders, it will be impossible. That it'll be so that whole cities of sinners, whole cities, turn to somebody and say, cities, plural, whole cities of sinners will be left without doubt. Amen. Without wondering what to do about their next step, which means get saved. Now, all I need, he says, is a people that can turn me loose on that level of freedom. Galatians 5. Let's talk about that band of flesh. That's the real enemy. It's the real enemy, see? When Dave saw that vision, the first time I heard him say it, what's interesting is about that, Sue and I were doing the message at that point. I had had a real similar vision, but I didn't know Dave had had it. But I didn't get the interpretation accurately as Dave did. I just saw it. I saw that black band. I figured it was the devil too. Then when I heard Dave say what the Lord said, no, that's not the devil. So listen, the devil is a defeated foe. God keeps showing me he is a fallen. He's not just an angel. He's a fallen angel. God has reduced him to the things of the earth for the most part. He can't just fly over Tulsa and kill you like an angel of God that's not been reduced good. You remember that in the Old Testament? One angel slew 186,000 Syrians, I think it was, or Assyrians, in a single night. Devil can't just fly over Tulsa and do that to you now. He's been diminished. Yet we keep thinking he has all this power. But he, compared to God, he's a gnat. He's like nothing. One of the prophets said, the day will come, we'll walk by him when he's in the pit. We'll walk by it. It's like God's going to put him on display like in the zoo or something. We'll get to walk by and the comment will be, we'll walk by and we'll see him. And we'll go, this? Yeah. This is who deceived the nations? This little gnat-like creature? We'll be astonished. However, the war against your flesh. Now we're talking a war here, see? So here it is in Galatians 5 again. Let's look at it like this. Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to go one step beyond. You all ready? Sunday night group, right? Sunday night group. Diehards of the diehard. So here's the traditional message on Galatians 5, the war against the flesh. And we'll do it quickly. So starting in verse 16, he said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Again, that should be a little S. He is not talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the war that goes on between your new nature, little S, and your flesh. For the flesh lusts against the new nature, and the new nature against the flesh. Now if you underline, you ought to underline this. These are contrary the one to the other. And I want to say, and they always will be. See, we keep thinking that the day will come that that war there is going to be over. I'm going to remind you again of a minister friend of mine that I highly respect. And he has been around this message and doing this message for probably 2 decades or longer. And he'd say, you know, talking on the phone, he was a little discouraged. And he says, I don't understand. He goes, I have been on so many fasts. I have prayed. I have done this and I've done that. We've seen God's power move and we've seen this and we've seen that. And he says, but yet still, he says, my flesh, I would have thought by now I would have brought it to a complete standstill and it'd be over. You know, it'd be no more war. I didn't know what to say. And the Holy Ghost, he had me. I heard this when I said this. Well, can you walk through walls yet? What? See, Jesus, once he got his glorified body, he could walk through a wall. Isn't that right? One day we're going to have a glorified body. How many of you are happy about that? I'm happy. We could just worship for the next 24 hours about that. But until then, until that time, we're going to have to contend with this one. Now, I have learned it can be trained. It is very much like an animal or a dog. It can. Well, it really is. It can be trained. My body really doesn't crave nicotine anymore. Let's worship God with me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, when you've been a slave to something for 42 years, and then you finally get free. Oh, let me worship God. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, and it doesn't even crave it anymore. But did you know I could train it again? I could let it become a nicotine addict again? It's however I train it. But now let me tell you, just because it's free of nicotine, well, that's it then. It quit bothering you, right? I already told you about the fried catfish. Oh, yeah. No, It still wants what it wants. Now, I'm just talking about appetites there. Adultery, fornication, well, that's Galatians 5. Look. So he says, verse 17, the flesh lusteth again. I want to say it a different way. The flesh wants what it wants. And it wants different stuff than what your new nature wants. Your new nature wants revival. I'm telling you right now. Your new nature wants holiness. Your new nature wants to walk in righteousness. That is who you really are. What it wants is contrary to what the flesh wants. The flesh wants bad stuff. Now, verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, and that should be a little S, the new nature, if you learn how to yield to the new nature instead of the flesh, well, you're not under the law. And then he starts listing all of this, and that's not the main teaching today. Now, the works of the flesh, this is the band around. This is the thing we're really contending with, okay? And then we're going to go one step beyond there tonight. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Let's say it a different way. This is the stuff that the flesh wants. Got it? Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness, which the basic message there is no restraint. Okay? Idolatry. Witchcraft is a terrible translation. I love the King James. The Greek word there is pharmakia. Pharmakia. It's drug addiction. Just plain, it's drug use. Especially drugs that produce hallucinations.
Witchcraft.
The word there is pharmakia. See, in our century, when we see the word witchcraft, we think about the movies we've seen and a couple of old witches around a boiling pot, you know, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, eye of newt and something or other. It's not talking about that. How many of you are tempted to go do that? That's not a big temptation in our but pharmakia. Man, I just saw an article. What are we, number? I saw it on the news. Oklahoma is number 3 in the nation for painkiller abuse. Doctors writing prescriptions too much, you know, overuse for painkiller addiction. Oxycodone, hydrocodone, all of those kind of things. We're number 3 in the nation. For crying out loud. Well, that's pharmakia. Okay? Hatred. This is that flesh. You know, the flesh. Alan a lot of times will say, the flesh understands the Old Testament. It does. Eye for an eye. Flesh goes, yeah, buddy. Yeah, I can understand that. Love your enemy. Doesn't understand that at all. Never will. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. We're going to come back to there in a minute. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, today we'd say parties, and such like. Now, he's not talking about a birthday party there. He's talking about drunkenness, As I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they're being led of the flesh. They're not being led of the Spirit. They're being led of the flesh. They're letting the flesh have its way. Now, right there, I have to always pause and put in the thing that Dave said that saved my life. Got to remember. Now, this wasn't my only flaw. It was just the most visible one. You know, I was smoking like a freight train. Praying in tongues. That time that I used to pray at the ugly building, which is only about a 10 by 12 little building. Wintertime, you got to keep the window closed. I'm smoking like a freight train. That's a small room. Boy, every now and then, even I'd start getting a little woozy in there. Atmosphere getting so thick, you know. One time, a friend of mine came and knocked on the door and opened it, and boy, this whole cloud just came out. Secondhand smoke just enveloped him, you know. That wasn't a Shekinah glory cloud, I'm telling you right now, okay? He said, what have you been doing in here, praying and smoking? Religion, see, will beat you up with that. Dave says, God will walk through hell with you, with your fault, as long as you don't start justifying it and saying it's not sin when it is, and as long as you keep doing those things that will one day spell out your freedom. See, and he's talking about prayer and fasting and meditation of the word, and it did. It sure enough did. Then he encapsulated that in a phrase that's easier to remember. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. Save my life. Save my life. It would send me back into prayer again, smoking like a freight train, doing whatever, you know. Praise God. Finally got free. See? In verse 22, he starts listing the fruit of the Spirit. And again, this is a little S. Now, it is the fruit of the Holy Ghost, too. You do know your nature is now like God's, right? But he's really, in context, it should be a little less. He's talking about, he just got through listing a partial list. You do know that's not
Exhaustive.
Thank you, exhaustive. It's not, there's a lot more you could add there. Well, then he starts listing the fruit of the Spirit. That was the flesh. That's the stuff the flesh likes. This is the stuff that your spirit likes. Love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Many translations right there put self-control. Against such, there is no law. So now picture all day long, you've got this war going on. I want it. I'm just going to get real bad. I want adultery. I want to commit adultery. What would it be today? Probably. I want porno. I'm in church, right? I want porn. Flesh. I want it. Give it to me now. I want to go flirt with that lady. You're married. I don't care. The flesh does not care. It wants all this. I want revenge. I want that guy's or that woman's position. That's the flesh. It wants what it wants. And there's a war going on because right against that, the spirit man is standing there saying, no! Love is the fulfilling of the law. Joy and peace. And we're going to be gentle and kind. Long-suffering today. And the flesh goes, bet me! And what he said to me last Sunday night, he said it this way. I'd never heard it before. That war, if you can picture your spirit man and your flesh man warring right there. And then the Holy Ghost said, if you can picture that, the Holy Ghost said, well, one of you is going to be on the cross every day. Whew, I had never thought of it that way. When Gary has, I'll be nice to you and not so nice to me. Whenever Gary has one of his fits, how about a pity party? We can all relate to a pity party. You going to worship God? No, I'm going to have a pity party. What are you doing right then? Your flesh is the one right there putting your spirit man right up on the cross. It says, hang there till I'm done. Or rage, or get even, or whatever. One of you is going to be on the cross today. I'm tired of my spirit man ever being up there. It's time to put the flesh up there and keep it up there. All right? Well, how do you do that? He tells you right here, against us there is no law. And in verse 24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. See, and if we only had that verse, doesn't that sound like a one-time event? I mean, Jesus was only crucified once. I used to think that. I really did. I thought, okay, I missed it somehow. I didn't crucify the flesh. Somehow I missed that. But see, hold your place there. It's so important. I want you to see it. Go to Luke 9. And just to be honest with you, I write my own little references sometimes in the margins. I haven't done it here yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to write Luke 9 and then this verse to remind me. I don't ever want to forget when I read Galatians there that it's not a one-time event. Because Jesus said, if we're going to follow Him, look at verse 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after me. Isn't that what we're doing? following after him? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often?
Daily.
See, daily, and follow me. So that those that are Christ, back over in Galatians where it says those that are Christ have crucified the flesh, he's talking day by day. And I can tell you from experience, sometimes it's more than once a day. And you know that, got an honest person in the audience. Sometimes it's more than once an hour. Now, if we live in the Spirit, and that should be a little less, let us also walk in the Spirit. He's talking about it is possible to come to the place where day by day, every day, that flesh gets put on the cross and you walk like the new creature that you really are. Now, that is where we normally end this service or this teaching. I want to show you a bracket. You know how Dave teaches about meditation and whole images? Notice the next verse. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. And boy, that's the flesh, isn't it? Vain glory, envying and provoking one another. That's the end bracket. We started up here in verse 16, right? But back up just a few verses to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So here, all of this teaching from 16, where it starts talking about the war of, between the spirit and the flesh, down through verse 25, is bracketed with this thought. Don't bite and devour one another. Take heed that you don't be consumed one of another. And then at the end, don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. In your dealings with your fellow Christian, for sure, you're going to have to walk by the Spirit. Now, in your early days of this, if you're like me and you're trying to learn about God's love, when I read something like that, then I think what he wants is for me never to raise my voice, never to say something that would upset somebody, even if they're wrong. Okay? But that's not the truth. That is not the truth. That is not the way Jesus operated. In this very letter, he says a couple of things. One of them, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Are you under some kind of spell? What is wrong with you?" Today we'd say, "Did you just fall off the turnip truck? What? How can you be believing this false gospel?" False gospel that's being brought in. That's love. That's love. And Paul is not doing it for vain glory. He's not doing it so that he'll look big in their eyes. He's not doing it so they'll think he's something else. He's doing it because he loves them.
Amen.
This morning's service where Mike was so good to represent Peter, and I was really careful to pick someone that I know loves me a lot. Mike. And Joe was down at the other end, and I picked a young man to hold out his arms that long, you know, right? Okay. And he's got his arms out like, there's the cross, and Jesus is on his journey to the cross. And in Peter, we did it this morning. When Jesus told them he's going to be killed, Peter's reaction was what? It says he rebuked him. You look up the definition yourself. It means no. No. This shall never happen to you. And what's Peter's motivation? He loves Jesus. But see, God told me many years ago, human compassion is as deadly as poison when it is substituted for God's compassion. See, God was having compassion on the whole world through the work of Jesus Christ. But Peter's little limited human compassion, if he'd have had his way, he'd have stopped the very plan of God. And the words that Jesus chose, it wasn't like, "Oh, Peter, you're such a nice guy. I really appreciate that you love me. I know you think you're doing the right thing." That is not what he said. In the Greek, you look it up in the Amplified. Just read it in the Amplified. The Amplified does just that. It brings out the full meaning of the Greek words. Jesus could have chosen any words that he wanted to, couldn't he?
Yes.
I think Jesus had a command of the language of the day. I don't have my Amplified in front of me, but I remember enough of it. He says, "Peter, you..." Now looking right in Peter's eyes. Peter, who loves him. From Peter's... One of the prophecies that came that I read this morning, one of the wars this year is good intentions. Peter was full of good intention right there. "I love you, Jesus. I don't ever want to be apart from you, Jesus. I've left everything to follow you, and I'm glad I have, Jesus." No. Good intentions. This is wonderful. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. No, Jesus. Good intentions. When your good intentions are in the way of what God's doing, your good intentions have to go to the cross like everything else. Jesus chose his words. "You are," this is a tough word, "Peter, you are an offense to me." Looking right in Peter's eyes, "You are an offense to me." He says another meaning of the word, "Peter, you are in my way. You have put your emotions and your human desires squarely between me and the cross and what my Father sent me here to do." Third meaning of that word, "Peter, you are a hindrance to me." Your emotional reasonings, your human emotional reasonings, if I listen to you, Peter, will hinder me. They'll hold me back from accomplishing what God called me to do. That's tough stuff. That is love talking. Is Jesus anything but love? I remember another time when Peter, he was in the boat when it was sinking. They were going over to the other side. I've meditated. I've almost been in that boat. I'm almost been there. I mean, I feel wet. Tired. I've been in that boat trying to meditate that. And here, all you're doing is doing what he told you to do. God, I've been through storms like this myself. Not physical storms, but the storms you're facing right now, he's called us to go to the other side, which is revival. Well, there's a storm raging. Have you noticed? And I meditated that. And the way Peter was in that boat, and the way it's worded when they come to Jesus. "Master, don't you care?" Boy, I'd like to tell you I've never prayed that. But I have. I mean, it seems so bad. Circumstances overwhelming. Looked like it's all over. "God, don't you even care?" But see, that same Peter, the same one that he spoke so straight to, I don't want to say harshly, he says, "Love will speak straight to you because love loves you." Love is trying to get you on the path of God, not leave you against the path of God. That same Peter, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Later in his life, he's the one that wrote, "Cast the whole of your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you." He learned, didn't he? He learned, didn't he? And he learned not to get in the way of God anymore. He learned to be a part of what God was doing, not get in the way with his human emotions. So I just want you to understand here, when it says, don't be biting and devouring one another and consumed, you got to leave it in the context. Here, thank God at the end, he gives us a little more light. Verse 26, Galatians 5:26. If you're doing it from the motivation of vain, vain means empty. If you're doing things from the motivation of empty glory, glory from man, or envy, or anything like that, that's not love. See? Don't be biting and devouring one another like that. But the real love of God, if you get off the path, yes, sir. I can tell there's still some resistance. Okay, back up to Galatians 3. You do know this is the book where we got this back up to verse 20 in chapter 2. This is the book. This is the letter where the verse is. Talk about crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now notice, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, and that was the temptation these Galatians were being put under, false apostles had come trying to put them back under the law of Moses. And he tells them plainly, if that's possible, if righteousness comes by you doing the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Boy, how strong is that? How strong is that? Yes, sir. I do appreciate my father, who's gone on to his reward now, O.R. Carpenter. My dad was a man's man. He's one of those guys, you give him a knife and put him out in the woods and he'll make it back fine. He's a man's man. Love God, love Jesus, sing bass in the choir. And he also had lots of flaws and faults. We're not going to talk about those.
Amen.
Okay? But I love my dad. See, now here's the thing. My dad loved Gary. Boy, he would tell it straight. He was determined I was going to be a man. I look back at all the things he did to put character into me. Boy, he would tell me straight. I'm telling you right now, your Heavenly Father, with love, where we're going now, you do know we have to change. Boy, not a single amen. You do know, right? Insanity is to keep doing the same thing and expect something different. No, we're going to change. We're not going to be the way we are, which tells me he's got some talking to do to Gary. There's some straightening out. You don't believe right, Gary. You're not doing something whatever. You're still messed up. Let me show you how not to be messed up. And my job is to receive it. Not run from it and allow that change to happen. We're coming into that season now. Love is always love. Yes, sir. Of all things. Now, I don't sing, and everyone should worship God right now for that. I really don't. There's an old song called Daddy's Hands. I'm not going to sing it, and you should worship God. There's a couple of lines in there. It said, Daddy's hands were hard as steel, but there was always love in Daddy's hands. We're coming into that time now where we're not little children in the cradle anymore.
Amen.
We're not going to be laying there sucking on milk. It's time to scooch up to the dinner table like the adult children that he's calling us to be. And if correction needs to be made, and I mean it, sometimes that's really not easy, but if correction needs to be made, I for one, Daddy, I'm here. I'm not running from your correction. Talk to me straight. I can take it. And if you see I can't, heal me so I can't. Amen. He's about to grow us up. Now, this message is not a license for you to go out and be harsh to people. That is not at all what it's about. We are to be long-suffering, gentle, and kind. There is more. The story doesn't end there with Jesus and Peter. Jesus continues, as you know. Peter loved Jesus. He got okay eventually. Okay, but we're not going to be able to get into that tonight. Maybe someday soon. Okay. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this much. I've already seen the end of it. Jesus is not going to finish with you. If you don't run off, he'll keep on until that change is made on the inside of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
If you'll let him. And I know that's true. And one way we do that is like, just keep praying. Don't quit. Keep fasting again. Push away from the catfish one more time. You know. Well, maybe a little peace. I don't know. I'm teasing. He will get it across to us. Don't run off. But if you do, we'll bless you in Jesus' name, and we're still going to have revival. Y'all want a freebie?
Yes.
I'll give you one without even a love offering of $19.95. How's that? I'm writing a little lesson called One Seed and Two Genealogies. Did you ever notice there's two genealogies in the New Testament for Jesus? I have. The first one's in Matthew. It goes all the way back to Abraham. The second one's in Luke, and it goes all the way back to Adam. I know one is Joseph and one is Mary. But still, why? God doesn't do anything for no reason. Why? Well, there's two promised seeds in the Old Testament. Remember what God said to Abraham? Abraham was promised a seed that would come through Isaac, the child of promise. Romans 9, verses 6 and 8. Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And in the Old Testament he promised to thee and thy seed. Remember that? Well, Galatians 3:29 says, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So when Christ was conceived, this is Matthew 1, when he's conceived in the womb of Mary, the genealogy given there, it goes back to Abraham. Why not all the way back to Adam? Well, because at his conception, what we're seeing there is the fulfillment of the promise that the seed of Abraham would come. It would come by promise, the same way that Isaac came. See, Isaac was a supernatural child, right? How many of you know Jesus was a supernatural child? So when he was conceived in the womb of Mary, that's the seed of Abraham. That's the promise seed. The other one, over in Luke's account, that one is at the baptism of Jesus. The event there is when he was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and you've heard me teach on that many times. What's really going on there is the coronation of the last Adam. When John lays him down in the water, Father, I know you sent me here to die. This is my vow. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm trusting you to raise me up on the third day. You heard me teach about that? See, there was a promise given to Adam and Eve about a seed too. Right there, it's at Genesis 3:15, it says, I will put enmity between thee, that's the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Jesus is the only man conceived in the womb of a virgin. God was his father. When Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, he was making a visual vow to the Father that he understood his assignment to die for mankind. He was vowing to go all the way to death at the cross. He was also demonstrating his faith that the Father would raise him from the dead and not leave his soul in hell, nor allow his flesh to see corruption. The Father accepted that vow as done, and it's as though a gavel came down in heaven declaring the first Adam to be dead, and that Jesus was now the last Adam, the Son of God. The genealogy given at this point, now it goes all the way back to Adam. It begins with Jesus, the Son of God. And it ends with Adam. You read it for yourself in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. It begins with Jesus, the Son of God, and ends with Adam, the Son of God. The promised seed of the woman is now on the scene to bruise Satan's head and deliver all of mankind from his authority. Is that good stuff or what? One seed, two genealogies. First, he's the seed of Abraham, and he still is. But then secondly, he's the seed of the woman, going all the way back to Adam. When they stepped across the River Jordan, remember the River Jordan? I don't know why I'm still doing this. Remember the River Jordan was at flood stage? And it stayed that way until what? Their obedience. They had to obey God, put their tippy toes in the water. And it says that the waters rolled back all the way to the city of Adam. Jesus didn't just come to deliver the Jew. Thank God he came to deliver us Gentiles too. Amen? All the way back to Adam. The promise is available to us all. Okay, I got to quit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's His Word. It's amazing what's in there. Isn't it amazing what's in there? Glory to God. All right, we're going to go ahead and do the confessions now.